Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 92 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Guys, today is Wednesday, November 8th. Join the bestest friend in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
I'm Marcos, and together we are two-fourths of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. We got a little bit of, we're going to pull the curtain back here. We got a little bit of a corporate situation here right now.
Corporate. Bringing in the HR involved.
So Dalladale, Sammy Stats are not here right now. Sent our boys to New Orleans. Go cover the game. On their way back, I told them not to stay the extra night. The extra night was going to be the killer. Stayed the extra night. On their way back, console news breaks. So what did we do? Sent the two biggest Cubs fans we know to Arizona. And haven't heard from them since. It's been 4 days, radio silence. I'm worried about our boys.
This tends to happen. I think last time we sent Dale off on an assignment, we actually didn't hear from him for 3 days.
Sammy Stats is warranted to do anything. Cousin Jimmy's in Arizona, right?
Cousin Jimmy is in Arizona.
This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea on our part.
First time caller, first time listener.
How you doing?
How you doing?
So guys, again, this is episode 92 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. We're on Facebook, Da Bear Minimum Podcast, on Twitter, at Da Bear Min Pod, Instagram, Da Bear Min Podcast, Venmo, always open, at Da Bear Minimum on Venmo. So excited to be back. A little two-man dance, dude. When's the last time we did this?
It's been a little bit.
We've done it once, though, right?
Earlier in the year, for sure. This year. Yeah? Earlier this year, we did it. There was a lot of babies that were born, and there's some gray area there for a while. But, yeah. No, it's been a little bit since we've done this.
Yeah, I sat down, and producer Jake had a cocktail waiting for me. Had a little cocky waiting for me.
That's hey,
some chocolate chip cookies. A little cocktail. You got the fireplace going. I'm about to get wined and dined right now. That's a wrap on episode 92. Peace out. Jake, how the hell you doing?
Preview on my Not That Guy. It involves a fireplace. Stay tuned. Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. Prepping. I go on vacation tomorrow. It's the annual family.
You going to the beach?
No.
You going camping?
No, I don't really vacation like traditionally. All my vacation is bullshit. It's like,
that's a good way to put you.
One point in the year, I go work on a cattle ranch for like a week. That's vacation. This is a hunting trip, so yeah, I'm going to Nebraska on this hunting trip, family hunting trip. It's an annual thing. So
what are you hunting? Duck?
Deer on this one. Okay. Yeah. Duck comes later.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So it's so been prepping for that. I spent all day yesterday. Not all day. So I got home a little early from work, and I like to bring something out there. So I'm bringing venison jerky. So I spent most of my afternoon yesterday.
The dehydrator.
Not even that part. That's tomorrow.
Okay.
Today is, or yesterday was slicing and then marinating. So it's, dude, I made like 8 pounds.
Good God.
It's more like 7 after you kind of trim it off. But I just kind of kept pulling bags out, and I was like, yeah, I'll do all this. Like, I had a lot left over. I was like, I'll just do all this. And then I weighed it. I was like, oh, shit. This is excessive.
Is this like the leftover deer from last year that you then turn into jerky and you're about to re-up again?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like just clear out the freezer. Plus, like, only some of it is really good to just straight up eat like a steak. You know, you don't eat all of it like that. The rest of it you turn into jerky or like sausage or something, and I haven't had time for the sausage, so I just I went with the jerky route. So dehydrating tomorrow morning, and then that'll be a wrap on that.
Quickly, what's a day like? What's a hunting day consist of? Like, are you like, you got to wake up before the deer wake up type shit?
Like, yeah, you're up way before the sun, and like,
what is that, like 4?
Five. You're up at 5. You have a quick breakfast. Get dressed. Go out
deer.
There.
Jerky.
Yeah. Have a quick breakfast. And then, yeah, you hop in the truck and you drive out into the field and you get dropped off. And so then you sit in your position. And honestly, up until like, you're kind of out there for a good half hour, 45 minutes before you can actually see anything. The first half hour, 45 is just like staring off into the abyss. And when it's like real cold, sometimes you just kind of hunker down and just sit there, and maybe you doze off and wake up and be like, holy shit.
Like, you're using PTO for this.
You like stand up and you're like, okay, that was a close one. But yeah, that's kind of the morning, and then you're only out there till like 8:30, and you kind of call it, go back in, and then you really figure out what you're going to do the afternoon until the evening comes around, and then you go back out and do the same thing until it gets dark. So like the middle of the day is kind of just up for grabs.
Are you drinking? Like,
post. So,
okay. So you don't like, you're not like in a deer stand with like
not,
a cooler.
No, not in the morning. In the afternoon, you might partake.
All bets are off.
You might slip a Coors Light or a Busch Light into your jacket and crack that open, you know, once you get out there, in the evening. And then post hunt in the evening, it's dinner and drinking until you fall asleep, and then wake up and just do that again.
Dude, and you like look forward to this. You're like an every year, like you're itching for this trip.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's always you love Nebraska on a cattle ranch.
So oldie but a goodie here. I got a gripe.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Daylight savings time.
Yeah, you know, I thought we were gonna save it for that. Not that guy. I thought it
This is right now.
Okay. It's worse for you this year than ever.
Because I never really thought about like the unintended consequences of like changing time for a baby. Like I'm used to like baby wakes up at a certain time. Baby wakes up around 6-7 o'clock.
Right.
First nap time's around 10. Second nap's maybe around 1 o'clock. Everything changed. Mm-hmm. That system you had,
out the window,
dude. There's people that are listening to this right now. They get it. I feel you.
Yeah, I know
I'm
what you
with
mean.
You.
Sasha is a little. Her clock's a little off.
Like she sleeps like 22 hours of the day. That dog does.
But she knows when it's time to eat.
It's 2 hours.
Fucking. She knows.
So that was fun. It blew my mind that we've got a buddy that lives in Canada, and up until daylight savings time, they were an hour. So daylight savings time,
yep.
And time zones now,
yep.
Together.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Megazord mind fuck.
Yeah, not good for you.
Not good at all.
Nope.
I have no clue how that works. So up until daylight savings time, they were an hour behind us.
Yeah.
Now it's the same time.
Yeah.
Nobody moved.
Yep.
Nothing moved.
Nope.
This is dumb.
Yep.
This is dumb, right?
It's very dumb. It really makes no sense.
We're getting rid of it, though.
We'll see. I'll believe it when I actually see it. This is like, it always feels like to me, like, you know, we'll be carbon neutral by 2030. It's like,
sure.
That's made up. You just threw that out there.
Believe that.
Yeah. So I'll believe it when I see it.
That's the only part of this time of year that I don't like. Literally everything else I love. Mm. I like the chill down. I like snow. I like the holiday seasons. The whole like hour earlier, it's darker earlier. The drive home is just because now it's like 3 o'clock and getting dark and you're miserable.
It does help me get up in the morning though. It was getting tough there for a minute.
Agreed.
And now that it's sunny, or not sunny, but it's brighter, like as I'm getting up, it definitely helps a little bit.
Yeah. We're so old.
Dude, yeah, I know. It's fucking brutal.
Week 9 in the NFL is in the books. Arguably, I would tell you, is like one of the best weeks of the year so far for the NFL. Like, you had a bunch of marquee matchups, starting with that Chiefs-Dolphins game in Germany. The
Bills-Bengals.
The ideal scenario, the ideal setup for the day is having a great 8:30 game.
Yeah.
I would take an 8:30 game every Sunday if you could just tell me that the 8:30 game was going to be good.
It's going to be a banger. Like, it could have been us.
Yeah. Like, I'm not getting up for, like...
Chiefs, Bears.
Yeah. I'm not getting up. I mean, I'd get up if it was Bears, but, like, yeah, you know, like, Panthers, Cardinals. I'm not getting up at 8:30 to watch Panthers, Cardinals on a Sunday.
Houston versus the Jaguars.
Yeah, but... High-powered offenses like the Chiefs and the Dolphins, dude. I loved it. It was a great way to start the day.
Yep.
You saw Chiefs come out on top in that game. Eagles won that big matchup against the Cowboys. Bengals and Bills had that good matchup there, 24-18. Bengals. So, it leads me to a question, Jake, and it's really, really simple. Easiest one you hear all day. Who is good?
Who is good
in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Let's change it. In the NFL, who is great?
Who is great?
Is there a great team in the NFL right now?
Yes. I think that, well.
This ice clinking is.
This
is fancy.
I hear it in 10D in my ears. Did you notice that cup, by the way?
the 1996 Republican convention.
Yeah.
So Budweiser Plastic.
San Diego.
Oh, the tax fill line. 43% of the cost of every beer is hidden in taxes.
What a great cup.
Love that cup. Love
that cup. I'm drinking out of a Newport Pleasure.
Look at us.
Racing cup.
Dude, look at us. Who'd have thought? So, Jake, who is great?
Who is great? The Eagles are great. The Chiefs are great. Even though they're rostered.
Really? The Chiefs are great?
Dude, they just... Yes.
I know Mahomes is great.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Like, roster construction-wise, it's like, it's not incredible, right? But they're great. They just continuously do it, you know? I think they're great.
Okay.
Even though the roster construction is not there, they're weak at wide receiver. They just get it done, you know? They just get it done. Same thing with the Eagles.
Are the Bengals great?
I think the Bengals are great. Yeah, I think they're good. They're great.
That's.
I don't think the Bills are at this point.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No, I don't think the Dolphins clearly aren't.
Which is crazy.
I don't think Dallas is.
The Bills thing to me is crazy.
I can never bet with them.
Josh Allen is just. He's just back.
He's awesome.
He.
I love that.
He had one of the better games that we've seen him play in that Bengals matchup there. Like, that fourth quarter, he did everything he could to try to win that game. But, like, dude, I think it's just, like, I don't know. I think I'm ready to say, like, to take a line from Big Cat. Like, you know, thanks for coming out, Buffalo. Like, thanks for coming out. Like, you guys are probably in the same boat as us. Like, neither one of us are going to be going far in the playoffs, if anything. I mean, we're not making it, but you know what I'm getting at. Like, nothing that the Bills do really impresses me anymore.
I don't know. I feel like, though, if I was a fan base going into the playoffs and I had to face Buffalo, it'd be like, nope, I don't want to do that. They could crush me at any second.
I mean, I think it's the same thing as the Cowboys. I think it's the same thing as, like, you're seeing the Chargers lately. Like, yeah, sure, you're not going to put all your chips in, but at the same time, like, I'm not voluntarily going out and, like, seeking to play against CeeDee Lamb, who's looked fantastic.
I think the 49ers are great.
That's a lot of great teams.
I think there are a lot of great teams.
Are they good teams? There's a difference between good and great. I
think this is semantics at this point. I think there's just a lot of bad teams.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it comes down to. There's a lot of bad teams.
I just feel like there's not a team in the NFL that, like, right now, with the exception of, like, maybe the Eagles, and just because
I really don't know if there ever is. It's the NFL. There's so much parity in it. Anybody can win any week. The only time there ever was like certain Brady years, like with the Patriots, where they were just fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no like active dynasty right
there's
now.
No one's undefeated right now. It's not like there's a 10-0, 11-0 team out there. Or we're only 9 weeks in, but there's no 9-0 teams out
That'd
there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have 11 wins.
Where'd you get the second one? Anything else you want to get into here? Anything else you've been dying to get off your chest? Did you get your ACT results yet?
No, not yet. I will update the people though as soon as those come in.
I know we got people waiting here.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I'm itching. I can't wait, dude.
I'm itching. I'm itching here, guys. Real quick before we keep going, I just wanted to make sure that I brought up and big shout out to the sponsor again. Shout out to Aurelia Gloves. No matter your specialty, Aurelia delivers the best in class glove for a wide scope of industries: dental professionals, tattoo and piercing professionals, all industries in between. They've developed premium quality products that excel in versatility, comfort, and supreme protection. Aurelia has a fit for you. For more information, guys, visit AureliaGloves.com. We got a little letter from long time listener Stebon. So Stebon, we're kind of chatting back and forth, and he wanted to make sure that he sent in his official picks and little bonus play here.
Picks.
We got a pick here, and we got a little bonus addition to it. We win if down the road. So Stebon said, I asked him, you know, how do you feel about this game? I said, I don't know. I feel like there are two teams that are on the same side of the coin. Offenses that are at their best with Bajent and Young responsive. Oh, wait a second. Oh, this is bad. We have to edit this out.
No shot.
I'm trying to read this through. They feel like two teams that are on the same side of the coin. Offenses that at their best with Bajent and Young respectively top out at functional, and defenses that while they have some big names and players at positions feel like tissue paper at times. In one of your segments, we win if So here's an addition. We win if. Bryce Young contributes to the Bears' score in any way. Pick six, fumble recovery for touchdown, safety, and Bajent keeps it safe. At this point, if he goes commit 15 times a game, as long as it's a dub, I don't care. Bear down. It just took me a second to read it through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, I was just kind of fumbling.
See, if you ever have to take the ACT test, that could be a problem for you.
I won't have to take the ACT test, and I'm not timed either. That was the hard part there. No, I think Stevan's right. I think this is, I mean, and the term I heard this week that I really liked is cellar dwellers. Like, that's what these two teams
it's
are.
It's a suck-off.
It's a suck-off. It's an old-fashioned suck-off, and it's just like, you've got these teams, like, we are in year two of this rebuild here. The Panthers are just now, like, at the beginning of their rebuild, tearing it all down. Like, this is, and we'll get into a little look ahead here in a minute. Like, this is just two really bad teams playing in prime time, and it's a damn shame for two collective fan groups that your bad team has to go out and play for the world to see. You could have tucked this game, dude. Make this be the 1% game on a noon on Sunday. Like, come on. We didn't need Thursday night. You know who agrees we didn't need Thursday night? Al Michaels. Al Michaels might not go.
Oh.
Al Michaels might take
I'm on vacation.
Al Michaels might take a sick day. He just might. They got to have PTO. Like, he might not be there that day. It's just Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he really, I mean, I know he's sold out, but really, you know, if you didn't want bad football, you shouldn't have taken the Thursday night gig. That's what it comes down to, Al.
Yeah.
I know you paid. You sold out. You sold out for bad football.
For bad football.
Bad football.
You knew Amazon was going to get the
big fucking check from Amazon. And Thursday night forever has been bad. It's never been good.
There's been like a handful of good games, but way more bad games.
Once in a while.
And then everybody wonders why, like, he sounds miserable doing his job. Like,
oh, dude, it's awful.
He's calling terrible games. Big shout out to Stevan. Thanks for sending that in. Guys, let's do a little recap. Or guys, Jake, let's do a little recap here, right?
I'll do a recap.
Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. Initial reaction. Go.
Initial reaction is we did cover. We did not hit the money line, obviously.
I didn't bet this game. I didn't even, I swear to you.
You coward.
You told me I couldn't. And because I didn't bet it and we still lost, I'm back tomorrow, baby.
That's so funny. You know, can we just do this? Can we embrace the bait?
Let's do it.
Can we embrace the bait?
Let's do it, Jake.
Let's do it.
There's no rules right now. No governor right now.
Because you were saying earlier about the callers calling in saying, like, you know, Tyson Bagent, all this stuff, right? Like, everybody's an idiot, you know, all of this stuff. I would like to embrace the bait and make a case for Tyson Bagent.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, yes. No, Jake.
Yes.
This couldn't have happened on a worse day where it's just two of us.
I know.
Because now nobody can, like,
no, this is perfect.
Pull me off the top of you as I'm, like, gouging your eyes out. Like,
this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted.
I'm going to kill you.
This is exactly what I wanted.
All right.
This is perfect for this scenario.
Uninterrupted. Go.
Of this podcast.
Mark Burley deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mark Burley does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Go ahead.
The case. Oh. Tell Siri to stop.
Stop it.
The case for Tyson Bagent. We talk about giving Justin a chance to improve and all this stuff. It's been three games?
Correct.
In three games of watching Tyson Bagent, he's done everything I want Justin to do. Go back and listen to, no one's going to do this, but you could fact check me on all my takes. All I've ever wanted, and I've said this before, is to throw the fucking ball. I don't care if you throw three picks a game. I don't care. I do not care. Throw the ball downfield. Move the ball. Get it out. Go through your progression. These are all things Tyson Bagent is doing. In my eyes, he looks like a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Justin Fields... better athlete, incredible athlete. I do not believe that Justin Fields has had 30 games this point to go through this. It's been 3 years. And in three games, I'm already like, oh my God, Justin can run this offense better than Tyson can run this offense better than Justin can in three games.
I'll let you keep going.
What? He just looks like a quarterback. He goes through the progression. He runs the offense. Also, the play calling is insane to me that we're actually getting RPOs for Tyson Bagent and not for Justin Fields. It's so funny that this past game we ran so many RPOs and
moving
Dale
the pocket.
And Dale has just been like, why don't we run the pass option?
Yep.
Why don't we run the read option? And then all of a sudden we do it with the backup quarterback that's never played in the NFL. All of that aside, that blows my mind. But the guy's coming in three games and he's running the offense better than Justin has. I know he's not a better athlete, and I know like the potential that Justin has, but it's just crazy to me that like I know he's throwing picks. I know he's throwing picks.
And fumbling.
Justin fumbles. Sure. Justin fumbles like
Agreed.
Crazy. Elite recoverer. Of the fumble.
So, like, you're good with 9 turnovers in 3 games.
For a quarterback that is in his 3rd game in the NFL, mistakes will be made. It's happened in the past. And I don't say he's going to be a Hall of Famer, because it has happened in the past. 2 Hall of Famers. Peyton Manning came into the league and threw the most interceptions his first year. He threw a lot of touchdowns as well. But that did happen. Like, turnovers will happen.
Peyton Manning.
I preface with this, I know he's probably not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But this happens. You come into the league and you will turn the ball over a lot. I just like what I see out of this style of quarterback much more than what I'm seeing out of Justin.
But like, I think you're like, what's the end game with your statement here? Like, you like Tyson Bagent, so he should be fill in the blank.
It's going to be tough because we have so much invested in Justin. Like, as soon as he's healthy, he's obviously going to come back. Like, I'm not saying you bench Justin for Tyson Bagent, but I think Tyson Bagent giving an opportunity to continuously play, I think you would continue to see improvement out of him in his position. Like, the interceptions he's throwing,
they're really bad interceptions.
They're just behind the receiver a little bit.
Which is a really bad interception.
Yeah, but again, it's going to happen.
Yeah, but okay. So here's the thing with Tyson Bagent. And I think this is the issue that the media has done this. I think that we've done this. Our idiot meathead Chicago sports fans, brothers and sisters have done this. Is they've created this. Again, another quarterback controversy. Another, like, I know that this guy can do it. I know that this guy could be the guy. Like, the fact that Tyson Bagent went out there and he played the first 2.5, almost three full quarters, he played a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And right, he's shown competency to an extent.
Yep.
But Tyson has also showed you the deficiencies in his game. Like, he can't, like, sure, he can read the defense and he can release the ball quick.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to. He does not have, like, even not even elite, he doesn't have above average arm strength.
Yeah.
So with a guy like that,
I agree.
That's why those interceptions then are tricky. Like, you can't be turning the ball over, making mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm.
At his ceiling, Tyson Bagent, even through the first couple games, he's played like a third, fourth round QB selection that was just going to be a backup. He has played way above where he was drafted and what was expected.
Yeah.
And great. That's okay. That doesn't mean that we have to take it all the way to the point of like, Tyson's the guy and he should keep doing it. You know what Tyson Bagent is. Tyson Bagent is Chase Daniel.
You do? It's been 3 games.
Oh, brother, you know what Tyson Bagent is.
This is the embrace debate part here.
And I'm willing. I let you say what you wanted to say, even though I thought it was the dumbest shit you've said all day.
So we know in 3 games what Tyson Bagent is. In 30 games and 3 years of Justin Fields, we should know what he is.
Yeah, I don't think that either one of your – I think your quarterback of the future is not a Chicago Bear currently.
Okay.
Like, and I'm there. Like,
yeah,
I love Justin, and I wanted Justin just like I wanted Mitch and Jay and every other flyer that we've taken, every other like lottery ticket that we've pulled. I've wanted them to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I say this from experience. We say this from experience. We've seen this movie before. We know how this thing ends. We're going to end up drafting another quarterback. I don't think Justin can do enough when he comes back to solidify himself as the future. Like, we know that part of this. I love Justin. He ain't it. Tyson, I'm great if Tyson wants to come back next year and be the backup. Great.
He's not a 3-year deal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's gonna here. Like, and I'm good with that. I'm good. I feel comfortable with the way Tyson Bagent has played to say, great. If when my next QB1 goes down, I know that this guy can hold onto the steering wheel long enough until my guy comes back and things won't completely fall apart. Dude, he's just a backup, and that's amazing. A D2 undrafted rookie who had 7,000 people at his school or whatever it was that was playing like accountants and insurance guys and tradesmen and things like that this time last year. The story is great, but we don't have to make it more than just what that story is. He doesn't have to be the next guy.
What if he wins this week and he's 2-2?
Great. That's a great job from a backup quarterback. And Ryan Poles, you guys found a guy that can be a great serviceable backup in this league. That guy does not have the arm strength. That guy does not have he's a great backup, and that's really it. You know, oh man. That's brutal.
I think what this tells me most of anything is that Justin's definitely not my guy anymore. Like, I will continue to root for him as a Chicago Bears fan and hope that he does well. But I just don't – if in 3 games I'm already like, wow, Tyson looks like a better quarterback than Justin.
Well, I think there's a difference between what we want to happen and what we know is – what we think is going to happen. What we want to happen is Justin to come back and for the last 7-8 weeks of the season just play like an absolute superstar, an absolute Hall of Famer. Like, oh my God, where has this guy been the entire time he's been here? Like – anything short of that isn't changing our minds. More importantly, isn't changing Ryan Poles in the front office's mind. Like, not many times does an organization get to build the, and we've said this years ago, literally years ago, build everything else. So just in case Justin isn't the guy, you've got these draft picks so you can hit the reset button on money and in your quarterback room and see where it goes from there. Would I love for Justin to be the guy? Great. If he's not, I got a break glass in case of emergency button that I can hit right now. Tyson Bagent is not the parachute here. Tyson Bagent, he's a great story. That's all it can be. Like, that's okay. That's okay. People are like disappointed.
I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed. I think it's crazy to crown Justin when my eyes are telling me.
What does crown Justin mean?
That, well, maybe I'm representing my point here.
Sure.
I just think that it's crazy that in 3 games I look at Tyson and say that he's a better quarterback.
But like, who have they played too, dude? They played the Raiders.
The D2 quarterback that was playing accountants is in the NFL playing better than our first draft pick that we've had on the team for 3 years.
But like, you're just forgetting like some of the good, and now you're just sticking with the bad.
The good has been there. He was an incredible. This is gonna hurt you. What I'm about to say. Do you know what Justin Fields is? He is an evolution. You know, a Pokemon like evolve. Mm-hmm. He's an evolution of Taysom Hill.
You're wrong, dude. You're so wrong.
Could you imagine Justin Hill? Justin Fields on the Saints instead of Taysom Hill in that position? It'd be insane. Goal line, 20 yards in. You wouldn't know what to do with him.
Like, I think Justin still has the opportunity to be a great quarterback in this league. I really do. Like, I think the talent that Justin...
I don't think he does. He can't... Seeing what I'm seeing now, Justin, again, 3 games.
No part of you factors in the fact that we are a poverty franchise. With multiple OCs, with multiple regimes, and it turns out that
always
the guys
has.
That were... Oh, yeah, always has. And I'm not going to hold... So I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, anybody gets preferential treatment on it over somebody else, but, like, somebody else who's competent gets their hands on Justin, like, I would not be surprised if at the end of the season we don't pick up the fifth-year option. Justin either ends up getting traded or he just hits free agency and signs with somebody else. I wouldn't be surprised if Justin looks exponentially better than he does here. Justin has deficiencies, and I'm not sitting here like saying that like he has to be our guy. You know my stance. You know I think we're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
I want him to be great, but I know we're going to hit the reset button, but that doesn't mean that Justin doesn't have all the intangibles, and with competent coaching, which I don't think he's had here up until just this year, I don't think he's had the weapons and the people protecting for him that he should have. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and balls out somewhere else.
Maybe. I think his just abilities within the pocket to, again, go through progressions. I just don't know how much more you can attempt to coach that. We could just be the most negligent and competent franchise of all time, and it could just be terrible coaching. But again, the fact that the guy with 3 games in the NFL already can do that better than he can, just, I don't know.
What has Bajan done different?
What do you mean?
What is he like? It's not markedly better. Sure, it's sure. He's going, and there's a noticeable difference between like his release times and things like that. I'm with you. Like, I get that the product looks a little different, but like, we're going off of a 3-game stretch here. Like, Tyson's shown flashes. Thanks for holding down the fort, but it's okay that Tyson is just.
I'm not saying okay. You're talking like I'm the radio caller that's like standing on the top of the Sears Tower, shouting to the world that Tyson Bajan is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he is. He doesn't have to be for the team to be competent. I mean, like, you look at the 49ers and Brock Purdy. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's getting the job done at the position because he manages the game. He's got talent around him. That also helps, right?
But he's
managing the game, and he's going through progressions when he's playing it. He's not panicking. Justin panics, I swear, in the pocket. Like,
I'm with you. He
gets his one look and dismisses it and looks for an out with his feet. Tyson's, maybe the fact that Tyson isn't an athlete, that he's developed the ability to stay in the pocket and look around for other options because he can't escape like Justin can. But it's just not working with Justin.
We're going to have to agree to disagree here. And that's the thing. I don't even think we're disagreeing here. Like, I'm with you. Tyson has played better than where he was picked up. And he's played better than all of the expectations that he's had. And that's where that story ends for me.
I just wonder, in a simulation environment, what the world looks like if you ran Tyson out there for 3 years. And I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm saying, what are the possibilities? You know, we'll never know because it's not going to happen. We're not going to actually like not draft a quarterback. We're not going to play Justin Fields. Like, we're truly never going to know what the world looks like if you attempted to develop Tyson Bajan.
I think we need to know. I don't need to know that.
You don't need to know?
That's not a dying, burning, yearning feeling in my gut that like I need to know. Like,
so your only knock on the guy is that he just doesn't have arm talent?
I mean, it's not the only knock. I think that the ceiling is just very, very low on Tyson Bajan. And great, he can manage a game. Like, managing a game is great for backup quarterbacks. Managing a game, if you're going to have a game manager, then have an absolutely stellar defense like the 49ers have. And if you don't have that, which, I mean, the Bears haven't had that since the 16 season? Mm-hmm. Then you can't have a game manager running the ship because then you have 9 turnovers in 3 games and you can't come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
The issue, and let's get into a little recap here. We'll kind of tie it into the recap. Recrap. Like, I won't say single-handedly, but Tyson was a big part of them losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Manage the game and that's fine, but that's the issue here is that you can't always depend on that. The Bears are... And let's just kind of broad brush paint this here. Like, mm-hmm. the Bears are not a good team, and we know that. Water is wet, mm-hmm. duh. But, like, the Eagles can afford to make mistakes because they're good enough to kind of overcome some of those mistakes. The issues that the Bears have is that they're a bad team, and what bad teams need to do is play perfect, pristine games to get themselves, to really give themselves a chance to win. If you don't, if you turn the ball over three times, you fumble once in the pocket, you won't have a chance. And still, the Bears at the end of this game had three different chances under 7 minutes to go ahead and take the lead. New Orleans,
the defense did a really good job.
They did a great job.
It's a really good job to give you a chance to win.
And New Orleans coaching side did a terrible job. From a missed point, they had the failed fourth down conversion. Like, mm-hmm. And the Bears offense had multiple opportunities to close it out.
Well, and we also missed the field goal that gave them the field position to drive the field and go up that touchdown.
I'm sorry, I was finishing my drink.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean,
because let's say you make that field goal and you do kick, you know, a kickoff and start them back at their, you know, 25 rather than their like 45. You know, it is a difference. They, you know, they were able to drive the field. Did they score a field goal on that?
No, the Saints. What, the Saints on that drive?
Yeah, it was out of the touchdown to take the lead after the missed field goal by the Bears.
I thought the missed field goal was early, wasn't it? The doink was before. Doink.
No, it was before that, but the Bears, it was tied. It was 14-14 at that point. We would have gone up 17-14, and I think they came around and scored a touchdown.
I believe so,
with a good field position.
Yeah. I mean, and like, the Saints are not a good team. Like, the Saints are just an okay team with some good weapons. Like, the Bears had a chance against a bad team. Like, those are games that, like, I would like to see the Bears win. The result was what I expected the result to be. I expected the Bears to cover. I expected the Bears to lose, and that's what you got. But I'd be lying if I said after 2.5, 3 quarters, like, I wasn't all giddy thinking like, ooh, we might actually win a game today. Tyson Bagent went out there, and like you said, he managed the hell out of that game.
Yeah.
Got guys
opening
involved.
Touchdown.
That Cole Kmet ball. That Cole Kmet
was a fucking animal.
It just, Cole's playing like I hope that a big body receiving like tight end would play.
The first touchdown is everything I've wanted out of Cole Kmet. He bodied that DB as he took that ball. Just moved him around, like totally dismissed him as he caught that. As if he was a fly on his shoulder. And then big man, grab ball, touchdown. Perfect. That's everything I've wanted out of Cole Kmet for the last 3 years.
And it's big props to Tyson Bagent too. Like, I cannot lie. Like, and I don't want it to seem, I need to make sure that I'm clear on my stance right now. I love Tyson Bagent. I think he's great. I think his story is awesome. I think the fact that he's going to be our backup next year and going forward, like, and continuing to learn, like you said, I think that that's fantastic. Tyson's press conference today, he even said, like, if there is something to be said about the way that that man commands a room, the way that that man, like, handles a press conference, he honestly, like, everybody else in the Bears organization could learn a thing or two from your undrafted D2 rookie quarterback. Like, that guy is clear and concise with his thoughts, just like you see on the field. Like, when it's time to throw it, I'm going to throw it. Mm-hmm. Like, and he even said in that press conference, like, look, I mean, I peeked up. I saw Cole. I saw who the DB was. I knew that, like, if you're going to go one-on-one with some of our best playmakers, like, I need to make you pay. Like, Bears should win. And I'm just like, damn, that's a great thought process that I want that quarterback to have. And that's what you saw. Like, he threw it up there for Cole to just go up there and grab it. It was great. Now I'm going to completely flip it here. The DJ Moore negligence needs to be talked about. You spent big draft capital. That was the big acquisition coming into this season. Like, we were excited about it. 3 targets.
Yeah.
This can't be, and I don't know who to put this on. I would say put this on Getsy, you know, but at the same time, like, it's not like he's not out on the field. He's running routes. He's there, like, partly on Tyson. Like, you have to know, and that's the thing. Like, you have to devise these game plans knowing, like, hey, regardless, we got to get Moore involved.
Right, right.
Moore's the guy.
Well, even on like the interceptions he threw, they were both to Mooney, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're in a clutch situation. You're trying to win the game. Maybe throw it to the WR1. Maybe. You know, let him go get a jump ball. I feel like we say that a lot, but
oh yeah,
it just never seems to happen.
Well, and one-on-one is like a one-on-one with DJ Moore is advantage Moore. You know what I mean? Like, and
he's bigger than every DB out there.
And that's another thing that Tyson said in his press conference today was like, hey, like when it's one-on-one, I need to make a defense pay for thinking they could be one-on-one with
DJ Moore.
And you are 100% correct.
Good point, Tyson.
Why did that not happen? I'm curious to see after a week of adjustments, knowing what you have to do. Like, I'm curious now to continue that process with Tyson Bagent, like you're saying. I want to see then you make those changes. It's great that you can stand at a podium with a bunch of people with iPhones and recorders in your face and you can say the right things, but then have that translate to the field on Sunday. And if you know that that's what you guys were missing, make those changes and I hope to see more of it. And that's across the board. I want Getsy to notice that. I want Flus to notice it. I want everybody. Like, let's see what you can do. To stay on the offensive side of the ball, and we just mentioned his name, Darnell Moody had his best game of the season so far. Like, that's the Darnell Mooney that I'm used to seeing. And I just hope that we continue to see momentum with that guy because, like, I think he is a part of this Bears offense, like, going forward in the future. I hope that they re-sign him. Like, he's a good, young, talented asset. So we hope that he keeps linking up with them.
Yeah, catches the ball. I mean, catches the balls that are thrown to him. It's not like he's an effective wide receiver is really what it is. He's effective. You know, if you get it to him in a spot, he's going to catch it. You know, he doesn't commit drops. You know, he's responsible at the position, I think is a good way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last thing on the offense too. Well, I guess one just thing to talk about and then one just complaint and you'll want to move on because it makes you sick. Tevin Jenkins is a man.
A man.
Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright together could be, and I'm not, I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because there are guys and we love them, but we consume a lot of football. We watch this off. I love watching offensive line play.
When I watch offense, I only watch the offensive line. And then as the ball is thrown, my eyes move with the ball. Exactly. But as the ball is snapped, I watch the line.
I like watching the all 22. Because then I can see that end zone view, and you just really can see those guys between Darnell Wright and Tevin Jenkins. Tevin has another year, so next year will be his contract year. Like, if he can prove that, like, he can stay healthy, dude, he is an elite right guard.
Yeah,
health is the only concern. All pro right guard. If you can find a way to get that guy to stay healthy. Sky's the limit between him and Wright on the right side. You know the deficiencies that you have at center. Obviously, that's a position we're looking for.
That'll be the next spot.
Yeah, Larry Borum.
There was three balls, I think, put on the ground.
Yeah, not Larry Borum. Braxton Jones made a return at left tackle and then rotating in and then ended up not being able to finish the game. But, like, I feel better about my right guard and right tackle than I do any of the other positions there. And that's good. Like, I just hope we continue to add there. Why does Velus Jones even dress anymore?
I agree. So
why dress him, dude? He can't do anything right.
We do have some people potentially coming off IR. Velus has to be thinking he could be on the block.
He's got to. And literally, like, chopping block and what good tape has Velus Jones put out there for anybody?
Zero. He's done nothing.
I can't think of one thing that he's done. I know he's scored. I think he's got one or two touchdowns as a Chicago Bear. I couldn't tell you what they were.
I couldn't tell you what they were.
I could not tell you at all when the hell Velus Jones scored. And
I know people
it.
Often think of the bad more than they think of the good, but it's egregious. It's especially over the last two games.
You hit a point where you're sending the wrong message to your guys. It goes back to, and I know it's not like toxic, like locker room cancer, like Chase Claypool was, but like that has to be something that is thought about in the locker room. Like, hey, we're all like busting our ass and like doing our best here. Like, I know he's trying.
And that's why I think there's a really good chance that he is cut as they bring people off of IR, like Khalil Herbert or I don't know, someone else. As they're bringing these people off IR, I think there's a really good chance that he is cut because the Bears, for the most part, have not really put up with some of the bullshit. Obviously, Chase Claypool is one of them. I mentioned this in our text thread, but they've with the coaching staff, right? We had two coaches fired for HR, you know, violations or whatever they were. Honestly, good on them for when you interview, people sell themselves. You might not know the You might not know the dirty details of who they actually are, but at least they did the right thing and fired them, you know, got rid of them regardless of how it affected on field. Like, we didn't have a DC. We were playing.
We
still don't have a DC, but they fired them. Like, there's organizations in the past that would just brush that under the table and hide it, you know. They do the right thing when it comes to certain scenarios of not performing or doing the wrong thing. So
I'm just
even if they invest a second round pick into it.
Yeah. I'm just at the point now where like all the good things you do and the good vibes and stuff, like really soon here, I'm going to need you guys to start winning some games. Like vibes.
Tyson Bagent might be two out of four or two and two in. Here in a second,
he'll probably be we'll do a little look ahead and I think you're right. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
Jack Sanborn
10 tackles for Jack Sanborn. You had 15 tackles for from TJ Edwards, who's graded out so far to this point in this season. I believe he's PFF has him as the second highest graded run run stopping linebacker in the league. Like, so what you knew you were getting, just an absolute tackle machine. I think that guy only gets better. Same thing when Tremaine Edmonds comes back. Like that linebacking core, and honestly the DBs too, everybody gets better if and when we really start to invest and develop that defensive line. You know, and you saw already the addition of Montez Sweat starting to pay off for those guys. He didn't record a sack. Tell me if you've heard this before. The Bears in general didn't record a sack.
I have heard that before,
but I believe he was like a top three win rate and like pass rushes this season. It didn't translate to sacks just yet, but like just the fact that like you went out there and had a nice productive like you impacted the game at some points.
Yep.
Like to have just gotten there 3-4 days ago, good on you there. So I liked what we got out of Sweat. I'm hoping that continues. I would like to see more from our rookies. Like Pickens, I think, had like 13 snaps or something like that. And I mean, that always worries me.
That is a good point. They really should get more playing time.
In a bad season when like we're not looking for playoff time anymore. Like this is the time. Like, get these guys in. So when they don't get play time immediately, I default to like, well, what are you guys seeing in practice that makes the coaches not trust you? You know what I mean?
And maybe it's also like they were trying to win that game. Like, they were in it for a really long time and were trying to win that game. And so maybe you don't want to roll out the rookies in that scenario. You got Sweat. You want to give him snaps as well. So maybe just the way the game was going, they were like, you know, we're going to try to win this one. And then it obviously didn't work out in the end, but maybe that was the case. But I agree, they should get more playing time.
Yeah. And hopefully, like, at this point, you know what the second half of the season is going to be. More than likely, like, we're just going to be playing this out to play it out and get these young guys some reps and really see what you got. Cause you need to know, like, with money and capital, like, how much do we need to invest and how broken is this unit?
Well, that's the thing, though. You can't just play this to play it out because you are trying to evaluate them. And if you're playing it to play it out, you're not going to get their best. So they do have to still try to get them to win.
I don't think that the Bears players, like, and that's the difference between this year and last year. Like, I think that the Bears still, like, those players in that locker room think they can still win. And part of me still stupidly thinks that they can, too. I'm not sitting here saying that, like, they're going to go and, like, run the table and become a playoff team or something. But like, I think this team is better than what the first half of the season has showed you. And it's just a bad team that's gone through adversities and it really magnifies it. Like, curious to just see what the second half of the season brings to us. And we'll kind of move on from there. We'll give the Aurelia glove of the game. This week's glove of the game is going to go to, I believe we said Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, guys, Darnell Mooney played a great game. It looks like the Darnell Mooney from last year, the Darnell Mooney that Dale had faith in.
to be the leading wide receiver of the Chicago Bears, which honestly, with the way we're using DJ Moore, it's possible.
He still has a chance.
He just has to get signed. He just got to get re-signed.
Jake, anything else on the Bears-Saints game you want to get into?
No.
Then we move on. We'll do a little Sammy Stats question of the week.
I'm ready.
Oldie but a goodie.
Oh.
Fuck one, kill one, marry one. Matt Eberflus, Matt Nagy, Mark Trestman.
Okay.
You got mine first?
Sure.
I'm going to kill Matt Eberflus. The man can't do anything right. Great guy. Probably a really nice guy. Great neighbor. You know, we'll rake your leaves for you if, like, he notices that, like, your leaves weren't raked in the front yard, you know, and it's pickup day soon. He's that neighbor. Great guy. Nice guy. Terrible football coach.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible head coach. Honestly, DC, too. So I'm killing Matt.
This is your kill? I think I'm going to kill Nagy.
See, I'm enough.
Because I just see Nagy, and I just get this white flash of rage. Like,
you black guy.
Like, with Eberflus.
What happened?
With Eberflus, I don't, like, we haven't had, Nagy had a good team. We had 12 wins. We went to the playoffs and lost in a double doink scenario. I have visions. Like, when I think of Matt Nagy, I can see his face, you know, just dumbfounded, bald. It makes me mad when I think of Matt Nagy.
You look mad.
I don't have that quite yet with
Mad
Eberflus. I don't have that with Eberflus. So and even like in the Chiefs game when he just appears on screen randomly, I'm like in a huddle with Patrick Mahomes
in
I'm,
a
you
Microsoft
fuck!
Surface. In
like,
his
you
head.
Fuck.
See, I'm gonna fuck Matt Nagy because like
hate him. You just hate fuck him.
I mean, he was fun. Like his press conferences were funny. Like he like was a good
Club Dub.
He was a good yeah. Club Dub was fun. Good personal guy. Like
it was a good year.
Yeah, good year.
Ended terribly.
And towards the end of it, it was total dysfunction.
Very,
but like
very.
I'd fuck Nagy because he looked, you know, it was a fun clip that, but it was like, it was fun, you know, like
slap his head.
We had a good time, bald ass, but I am marrying Mark Trestman.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to marry Mark Trestman as well.
I know.
Which means a fucking Eberflus.
Yeah. Which see, that's like a,
yeah,
that's like a dark room
it's
t-shirt
it's ugly.
On
it's ugly.
Missionary. Fuck.
It's ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly. We don't have to get into it. We'll just talk about both of us are going to marry Mark Trestman, the good old Canadian feller.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. The dysfunction towards the end of it was like absolute chaos. But name me a marriage that doesn't have chaos. You know what I mean? At some point, you're going through the ups and downs. Like, really, I'm marrying Mark Trestman because at one point he showed me that he could have a top five offense in the league.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was great. And so I know that,
shout
like,
shout out Jay Cutler.
I know the second year was not that good, but I know it's in there somewhere. And you know that there's husbands out there that think that same thing. That girl I fell in love with,
she's still there.
She's in there somewhere. So that's I'm fucking Mark. I'm marrying Mark Trestman and hoping that I get his top five offense found.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional. All right, let's move on. Let's do a little look ahead, right? Bears welcome the Panthers to the lakefront. It is a Thursday night football game. Al Michaels, eat your heart out. You better show up. We got ourselves a little suck-off. It's a suck-off. Bears are 3.5-point favorites. They are minus 180 on the money line. Total is 38.5.
It's really low. Really low. Really low.
Is this... I tried to go back and actually look back at like schedule and stuff. Like, is this the biggest must-win game we've played in like the last few years?
Yeah, you have to win this one,
right?
Because it's real ugly if you don't. It's yeah, you gotta win this one.
Well, you have to win it because you have the Panthers draft pick. The Panthers have shown that like they're a really bad team. The
yeah.
Cardinals technically have won, but like
yeah, but they're all. I mean, we still hold number two overall. Correct? Really?
I think your pick is your pick's 3 or 4. Oh, you might be 3. You're 2 and 3. The Cardinals are 1. The Panthers pick is the fucking. Yeah, I believe the Cardinals pick is 1. The Bears are 2, or the Panthers are 2, and then the Bears pick is 3.
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, well, it just, because we have their draft pick, you have to beat them.
Okay, we're 3.
Yeah.
Cardinals are, my thing just flipped on me. Yeah. Cardinals are, yeah, but the Cardinals might start winning more games. They're going to get Kyler Murray back.
Yeah.
And so.
You just need to do everything that you can to contribute to, like,
we're 5
your
right
future.
Now.
If the Bears go out and lose this game on Thursday, rock bottom. And that will be it. Like, you cannot lose to the Panthers.
Yeah, here. we're in a third-way tie for third worst, and that's just, the only reason we're in fifth right now is because the Patriots and the Giants are incapable of scoring points. They're actually worse at scoring points than the Panthers and the Cardinals are.
You have to win this game. And you already know that, like, and we'll talk about the Matt Eberflus presser in a minute here. Like, you already know, at least I think we know. That,
yeah, because if Carolina wins this game, you own the 4th and the 5th.
And that immediately puts you
you move up to the, oh God, you move way up. Because you're tied. Well, it depends on how the rest of the week plays out.
Well, and you will win and they will lose then, or vice versa. So, right. Like, one of those picks is going to stay up there. But we've already got one game ahead. So, like, you need to beat them. You need to make sure that you do everything you can to increase what that draft pick odds are going to be.
Yep.
If you hit the end of the season and you won this game and now you're picking 4 or 5 and winning this game could have got you that 2 pick, maybe they don't get 1. Maybe you get 2. Then you're talking about, damn, I have to give up capital to go up and get one of those quarterbacks if I really want him. Or it's just chaos. You have to win this game, and you're going to do it without Justin Fields for another week. Tyson Bagent was announced the starter. Justin is, oh my God, Justin
is doubtful, but we're going to wait till tomorrow
to really find out. Like, 51-49 doubtful, but Tyson's going to start, but Justin's not out. That guy is just so bad at press conferences.
Which is the worst. Cause that's when you really find out about your coach. You just can't have the bad pressers.
I remember I said this. I said this early in his tenure. Like, Matt Eberflus is going to piss me off eventually.
Yes.
Like, with these gimmicky, like, what's the hurt in saying, like, hey.
Just tell him how it is.
Hey, Justin's still hurt.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, Justin's still hurt. Probably going to need another week. He's still out. Tyson's going to be our guy on Sunday, and we'll talk about this after this little 10-day break that we have after this game. But no, dude, like, he just continues to dig the hole that is labeled his ineptitude.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, you can't, like, that's why you can't trust the guy. You just can't. It's brutal. What I think needs to happen is you need to rely on the run game here. Like, you need to rely on the run game on the offensive
side. Which was,
side.
Again, working last week, and then they abandoned it when they were down. And in, like, you had 6 minutes on the board to drive the field, and you open pass. You like, the first drive after they scored the touchdown, you had 6 minutes on the board still, and you went 3 passes in a row. Like, the run game was working. You just abandoned it because you're losing, and you think you have to gotta throw it downfield.
Just you had ample opportunity to just continue to do what you do successfully. Like, take, because we know that Tyson has, and again, this is now going to be his 4th game. He's experiencing all these things for the first time. Continue to rely on the run game then. Like, take the opportunity for him to make game-changing mistakes out of his hands. I hope that recipe works. I think also, though, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a DJ Moore fuck you revenge game against the Panthers.
That'd be fun.
I'd love it. On, like, a couple, like, smoke screens, just a couple quick little, like, just one step screen and just take it to the house type deal. Like, don't even make Tyson Bagent work hard. You just do your thing, DJ. Like, that's what I'm hoping we see. On the defensive side of the ball, your recipe for success here is make the day as uncomfortable as possible for Bryce Young.
Which I think they can do.
He's coming off a game where he threw three interceptions, and dude, two of those interceptions were god-awful. Yeah. Bryce Young has played so poorly, and I wonder what the Panthers fans are thinking, seeing like CJ Stroud ball out for the Texans. And like Bryce Young have the day that he's had and the season that he's had so far.
Yeah, can't feel good. I definitely don't know what that's like.
I can't
like.
Imagine what I that feels like
I can't
at all.
Imagine
no way.
Picking the wrong
never.
Quarter. Can't, couldn't be me.
No, never.
Couldn't not be me.
I've never thought that at all.
No.
No way.
No.
So, I
Two
mean.
Two Super Bowls.
So, I think it starts with making the day difficult for Bryce Young. And I think it's also like, hey, Montez, you got a week of practice in. You know what you got to do. Let's go out and feast. You got your money. Bears signed Montez Sweat to a contract extension. 4 years, 98. No, 4 years, I think, altogether with incentives. It's like $104 million or something like that. It's like 24.5 annual, and it is like $72 million guaranteed. I love the deal. I love the trade. You paid for pass rushing talent that you didn't know you necessarily were going to get with that second round pick. Like, and
no,
you locked him up.
Exactly.
I'm with it.
Yep. And the debate that he was like he could have gotten them in free agency, he wasn't
the shit that Lombardi says. That dude's a fucking idiot, bro. That guy's
just
a
hater of the Bears. I'm just happy that they did get the deal done, because it had like inklings of being the worst trade of all time.
And that's where part of me, like, for as much as Poles has like messed up on some things here, you know,
yeah,
like. I also just couldn't believe that like Poles would have made that trade without there being, and now we know, you know, post, like now that all the rumblings start to come out and like the truths are out, like they had this deal like locked in principle before they made the trade.
Yep. You have to.
You had
to. You don't
to.
Make that trade without it.
So I'd like to see Montez Sweat go out there and get after it. I mean, this is a game, Jake, where the Bears should win. I think on both sides of the ball,
we
the
are
Bears
favorites.
Are better, and that's what Vegas tells
and
you.
We're at home.
Three and a half, you're home. This is Montez Sweat's first home game. The crowd's going to come ready
Which,
on a Thursday night.
Also, not to harp on the Tyson Bagent thing, but the fact that we are favorites with the known fact that Tyson Bagent is our starter against the number one overall drafted quarterback.
Well, Vegas sees what you see.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the extent
right.
that you see it.
Well,
but
I
like,
think they do.
Like, I think that Vegas sees that like Tyson Bagent is a game managing, serviceable quarterback to fill in for your guy, at least the guy for now. Like, that's what Tyson Bagent can do for you. So on all sides of the ball, like, you should be able to go out there and
yep.
take care of business. If you don't, next week episode's going to be really bad.
It'll be ugly.
Next week episode
It'll be
is
going to
be really, really bad if we don't get a win on this Thursday.
Yeah,
so,
you need this one.
Let's hold tight and let's see what happens. Let's do a little we win if. I think it's simple.
I think it's pretty simple.
I think we win if you have a – if you win the turnover margin, like, and you just make the day difficult for Bryce Young. If you're the – this game is going to be won by the defense.
Yep.
Like, set up your offense, set up your rookie quarterback in short field situations.
I totally agree. If the defense continue to play how they've played over the last 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks,
you should win this
game. We should win this game.
Yeah.
You should have no issues.
I'm 100% with that. Do you think, what are you betting on? Like, you throw money out there a little bit on this game? You going to bet this game or want to hit a gambler, gamble responsibly? Like, does any part of you think that, like, the Bears are really going to click and, like, we should be looking at, like, alternate totals? Like, are we considerably better than
I don't know about alternate
Panthers?
Totals. I might do something about, like, I don't know. I haven't looked at it, but I might do something about, like, the Bears over. The 38 is really low. I mean, it was 38 against the Saints. I mean, that was how many points, right? It was 14, 20.
24-18 was 42.
14-24 or 14-21?
17-24.
17-24. So it was 41.
41.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the Sunday not betting the Bears, to be honest. It was actually like, I was like, whoa.
Much better for you.
I was like, whoa, this is nice.
Yeah.
We got our heads kicked in and I'm like, oh, not nice. But like, to not have the compounding sadness mm-hmm. of like lost money and my favorite team lost.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we feel.
1-800-GAMBLER, gamble responsibly. We move on. We'll do a little sports minutes, Jake. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We start with the Chicago Bulls. 3-5 in the Eastern Conference. You're the Bulls. Nothing like stupendous so far. And then at the same time, like nothing that just worried or I don't think they're one of the worst teams in the NBA by any means, but at the same time, like I think this team is kind of broken. Like this team is like a 2009, like this is a 2009 team.
I learned a little bit about the tournament. It counts towards the regular season.
It does. I learned that too. I didn't think
I
it
thought
did.
We were taking like a month off.
Yeah, I kind of thought so, but it makes sense. And like
it makes a lot more sense.
And
now.
They stagger them, and I mean it's a way for them to just kind of do the whole revenue thing. But whatever. I mean, I think eventually, like if this season continues to go the way that this season has gone, thank you, Jake. I think that you're probably gonna look at like there's rumblings that like the Lakers are sniffing around and seeing if they could get Caruso. You're eventually gonna see like talks about is that like the inevitable, like is Zach gonna get traded? Do you trade DeMar? Do you extend DeMar? Those are conversations like for down the road in the season. I'm not sitting here and like sounding the alarms or anything like that, but like the Bulls have just not done enough to like really like wow me so far.
No.
No surprise.
No.
They're just not a 3-point. They just keep chucking up threes. But so the other night they beat the Jazz 130-113. And all I could think about was like, wow, wouldn't it be great if like Lauri Markkanen was
they had 138 points?
The Bulls had 130 points. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if like Lauri Markkanen was on this team and like Patrick Williams was on their team? Like, wouldn't I like right now, like, I would just so much rather have Lauri Markkanen than Patrick Williams.
Yeah. I also just feel like that speaks to us. Just as, again, just I feel like all these Chicago teams just are so bad at developing their players. I just remember thinking the whole time we had Lauri, I'm just like, this guy is so fucking soft. But we were asking him to, like, drive and do stuff. They're asking him to just shoot threes.
Yeah. Or then he can take you off the dribble if you do that, like, close out and overextend. Like, he's big enough and athletic enough. And, I mean, he's a couple years older now.
He is.
Like, he was a child.
Yeah.
That guy looks physically just looks different than when he played here. That's the hard part, dude, is, like, here we are.
The impatience.
Yeah, just being patient.
Forever impatient.
And you just can't be as patient as you would like to be. So, I mean, the Bulls are the Bulls. They're playing right now. Stay tuned. See red.
See red.
We move on to the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
Jake.
Okay.
What is going on?
I've got some. It's not Festivus, but I've got some grievances to air.
Oh, do this, dude. 2 weeks until Thanksgiving.
You
Let's
are
go.
Hear about them.
What are you unthankful for?
So, let me start with coaching staff hires. We hired guys from college.
Grady Sizemore.
We hired. So looking at the list here, I've got a quick little snapshot.
Look at you.
Of teams that our new coaching staff came from. They were either already on the team. So like we kept Ethan Katz. We kept Pedro Grifol. We brought one coach in from college. And then we hired three coaches from the Angels, a loser organization. And we hired Grady Sizemore off the Diamondbacks as just a major league coach.
He's your outfield coach. Almost positive about that.
I got Jason Bergot as first base and outfield coach. And Grady Sizemore just says major league coach on this post from the White Sox.
Searching.
So is just this more bullshit on is this how you get Ohtani? You hire his hitting and pitching coach. This is signing what's his face from San Diego?
Machado's
brother. This is signing Machado's brother. You're gonna sign Otani's hitting and pitching coach and think you can get him? Is that what's happening here? It's probably not. But really, you hire the bench coach from the Angels to be your head coach. You hire three players from the Angels who are just a terrible organization. Like, they haven't done shit. Why? What makes these guys worthy of having these jobs? I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to some comments from our general manager. Or
do you see Obvious Shirts has it on a shirt already?
Chris Getz.
It's so good.
I hate our team. What did he say? I don't like our team.
I don't like our team. And then Pedro Grifol doubled.
Good quote.
Pedro Grifol doubled down and like said, yeah, I agree with Chris. I don't like our team.
Like, you don't Pedro, like our team?
A couple months ago,
I don't like you.
Join the club.
I don't like you.
Isn't that the consensus among White Sox fans? Is like, yeah, no shit. Thanks for coming. Like,
yeah. Good. Yeah. Way to endear to us by telling us you don't like our team.
Does Chris Getz think you guys are stupid? Like, he was the assistant GM. Like, he had his hands in this also. Like, I don't like our team. Didn't you? Like, you were in charge of the
you
minors.
You helped construct the team.
And now you just get a pass to fix it?
I don't like our team. Yeah, so we did not take Tim Anderson's team option. That was a team option. So Chris Getz also doesn't like Tim Anderson.
Are you surprised by that? Given like how precipitous of a fall TA has had, like it seems like that field of dreams walk off
home. Year,
a year and a half, and it wasn't just bad on the field. Like, he had all the issues off the field and stuff.
I think it's crazy. I just think it's a little wild to not take the team option,
to just let him go for nothing.
Right, exactly. That's what I think is a little insane. Because I think the team option was like $14 million or something. Just a little crazy to me. What else we got here? Some comments on Yoan Moncada. Chris Getz said that he thinks he could play second base, third base, outfield, first base. Yoan Moncada is just going to play everywhere, apparently, which is crazy to me because if he's healthy, he's a Gold Glove third baseman. He's incredible at third. Why would you move him from that position? Go fix your holes elsewhere. That statement's insane. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what to do. We hate our team. I hate our team. He hates our team. Moncada's going to play every position. Only bright spot was Colson Montgomery won MVP at the fall All-Star game. That's the best piece of news in the last month. Luis Robert is he a nominee or did he make it to the MLB All Team? He's a nominee for All MLB Team. Yep, that's all we got so far.
When is the sell-off coming?
Sell-off?
Does this like? I mean,
they think that's the other fucking thing. There was another statement that Chris Getz made that it was like, okay, so one, you hate our team. Two, you're going to reconstruct so that you're still competitive in 24. What? How? You just lost 100 games.
Dude, Berto was right.
Berto is right.
Berto's so right.
Berto is right. What are we doing? We're going to be so fucking bad next year. Like, I just don't see a way out of it. You have so many holes. I don't know what they're going to do. I have no fucking clue.
This is rough, dude.
It's ugly. It's real ugly.
Anything else on the White Sox?
No. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
You know what? Let's not. Let's just end the podcast.
Guys, moving on to the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs made,
shocking news. Earth-shattering news.
There's not a lot of things that could like take my mind off of the Bears right now, especially being an off-season team like the Chicago Cubs. Like, and here go the Cubs. Here come the Cubs. The Cubs went out and signed a free agent manager Craig Counsell from the rival Milwaukee Brewers. Dude, he's been up there in like
free agent for like half a day.
So now that we always get the truths after things are said and done and the dust is kind of settled and you really learn like the truths and the intricacies behind like these deals and stuff. So it was rumored and pretty much like assumed that Craig Counsell was going to go to the Mets. Like, they were talking about bringing him in. Him and Antanasiu or whatever his name. No, that might be a Blackhawks player.
That is a Blackhawks player.
It's a really close. The owner up in Milwaukee, like Craig not only wanted to be extended. Me and Counsell are on first name basis now. So Counsell not only wanted to be obviously extended. Like, he's from that organization. Like, he's got roots there. His dad was part of the organization. Like, there's ties. Like, that dude was a Milwaukee guy through and through. Played for the Cubs during his playing career. But there was talks that he was going to go to the Mets, and because he was still technically under contract up until, I believe, November 1st, the Cubs would have needed to ask for permission to interview with him.
Which wouldn't have happened.
So yeah, they would have never said yes anyways. And then, like, the Cubs still have David Ross. Like, you can't go out there and show the world that, like, hey, we're out here looking for a manager, but, like, props to Jed. Like, this deal got done really quick. They met with him right after that November 1 deadline. They went through and, like, offered him a deal, and apparently, like, once Counsell knew that the Cubs were an option, signed it immediately. I believe we did 40 million. It's like 8 a year or something like that. 5 years, 40 million. Yep. You're paying 8 a year. He's the highest paid manager in baseball by far, like, hands down.
Double.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't blame Craig Counsell. Like, and if you're one of those Brewers fans that is like super salty about it, like, oh, he sold out, like, yeah, no shit. Like, your owner's not willing to spend money. Like, this should be the indicator to Cubs fans. And this is, I guess, me talking myself into it, too. And I don't think the Ricketts would do this. But, like, this isn't the spend. You know? Like, this isn't, like, oh, we spent money. We paid a manager. And
so
now
this move is telling you that you're going to get Ohtani.
I'm not sitting here saying that we're going to get Ohtani. But I think that this now means that, like, I don't think Counsell comes here if you don't have the promise from the organization that, like, hey, not only are we going to bring you in, but, like, the buck does not stop here. Like, we are going to open the pocketbooks and the checkbook, and we are going to spend. Maybe you're not going to go and be in the Ohtani sweepstakes, and that's fine. Like, we've called for it for a while now. Like, I hope Ohtani's a Cub, and that'd be so sick. I think he ends up with the Dodgers eventually. But, like, re-sign Cody. Like, go get yourself a Blake Snell.
Did you see what what's it, the agent, what'd he say?
Boris.
Yeah, we should see what Boris said.
I didn't see what he said.
He said something of, like, you got the experience of the full belly. You'll have to pay for it or something like that.
I think belly's as good as gone. Like, I think somebody's going to pay more. And this is where I think that the Cubs are going to be responsible in their spending. Like, you haven't opened it up like you could for the last couple years. You needed to kind of let the financial ramifications of, like, the bad decisions from that last phase of good Cubs teams kind of wear out. But, like, you're getting the $26 million that Hayward had. He's coming off the books. You've got another there's somebody else that's coming off the books this year, too. It's another, like, $17, $18 million or something like that. You're getting money. And obviously in baseball, you have money. Like, this is the time for the Cubs to be the big boys. Be the big boys in the market that you know you are. Like, you made the coaching acquisition. Now go spend on some top-level free agency. This team should be a playoff contender next year. This team should expect in the next few years to be a World Series contender. Anything short of that, I think, is a failure. So I'm excited.
In how many years?
You should be a World Series contender in the next, like, 2 years. Maybe next year it's too soon, and you're just gonna see what happens. Like, but...
Well, almost made the playoffs this year.
And that's some of the things that were held against David Ross.
Held against him? He had nothing.
You had to, like...
Not making the playoffs this year was held against him?
Am I saying that correctly? Yeah, like, they didn't make the playoffs and they blew it. Dude, they had, like, a 93% chance of making the playoffs, like, towards, like, the middle of September. Like, you let that happen. Somebody's got to be in charge, don't they?
Yeah,
I'm not saying Rossi did a terrible job. Rossi was a fine manager, and we loved him a little more because he was part of that World Series team, and we had that connection with the guy. So it was great. It was awesome. I feel bad for Rossi. That's a tough way to go out, not knowing that you're going to lose. And to steal a Friday quote, how'd you get fired on your day off? Like, but that's what happened. And props to the Cubs. Props to the Ricketts family. Props to Jed.
No, yeah, absolutely. Props to him, like, for making the business decision that, you know, to go out and get potentially the best manager in baseball right now.
Easily.
And, again, it's a business decision. But also, like, I'll be curious to see what David Ross does next. But it's got to just be a kick in the dick for that to come down your way.
Well, and this was secret to the point where, like, dude, Jed was meeting with counsel and his people, like, in private. Nobody knew up until 30 minutes before the announcement was made.
Yeah.
Like, Jed was going around telling, like, Cubs staffers, like, hey, just a heads up, this is what we're doing. Crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. You made a good investment on one of the best managers. Put this in, I heard somebody ask, put this to me in football terms. This is the equivalent of, like, Mike Tomlin is in the middle of, like, a contract negotiation with the Steelers and you swooped in at the last second and, like, stole him, you know? That's that caliber, like, really, really good coach that we always say, like, I'd love it if he was my coach. Right. This is that guy.
Yeah.
And props to the Cubs for making that decision and doing it. So I'm excited. Big expectations now with this move. And
the White Sox would never.
Jerry could never. And through the offseason.
Chris Getz is our fucking Pedro Grifol is our guy.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't like this team.
I don't know why.
Well, I love this.
Meanwhile, Bruce Bochy's out there. You could add Bruce Bochy like 3 years ago.
Tony La Russa is still part of meetings.
Tony La Russa.
Did you know? No. La Russa.
Whatever.
La Russa's Connecticut.
Fuck him.
Did you see that Tony La Russa is still like in meetings with the White Sox? Like he still has a say in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, because Jerry has a say in it.
We move on. Let's get to the Chicago Blackhawks. Jake, this will make you really happy. Talk to me about the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks are fun. They lose big. They don't win big. They do win, though. Got smoked by the Arizona Coyotes like a week ago. Bounced back, won a game as well. Connor Bedard continues to just be sick. His shot, I will continue to say this, is just ridiculous. Did you see the snipe he had the other night where he skated up the left side? Nobody should score like that. Nobody should score one-on-one that far away. Like, a goalie should be able to save that every time.
And he didn't, like, I forget who was in net for them, but, like, he had to look back and see, because once that left his stick, dude, he didn't see that puck anymore.
It's disgusting. It comes off the stick so fast for such a small guy to be able to shoot it that hard and that fast. Is ridiculous. He's got 5-6 goals already through 10 games. Mm-hmm. He's on pace for like 40 now. It's ridiculous how good of a shooter he is. Sky's the limit as he gets older and gets bigger. We were talking about like Lauri Markkanen becoming a man. Man, this kid is 18 years old.
This kid will eventually not be a kid.
He will eventually be a man. He's a child right now. It's insane to think about that. He's out there playing with grown ass men. It is really funny. One of my favorite things to watch and pay attention to is when there is a scrap occurring, not a fight.
There's a little pushy.
Just like, you know, someone's whacking at the puck at the goalie's pads, and you know the whistle gets blown, and you know you put people in headlocks and stuff like that. When those situations occurred, and Connor Bedard's on the ice, it is so funny to watch him like kind of glide over and kind of just grab someone's, like, just hold on to someone's jersey. He's not involved in the scuffle or in the scrap or whatever. He's just kind of there.
I forget who the defenseman was. It was in the most recent game that we played, but yeah, there was like a little dust up right in front of Mrazek, and yeah,
yes,
like he went over and the defender almost like he looked at first and like looked down and was like like laughed
right.
a little.
It's just,
it's funny. It's cute.
Like there's Connor, a child here. Like
whose kid is this? Somebody come get their fucking kid. Like,
he's not supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to remember, like, you have a great talent,
incredible,
a ton of money, and a bunch of draft capital.
So much draft capital and a top five farm. You have guys that you've already drafted that are prospects. That are still to come.
You have guys that like should be on this roster, but you're playing the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the arrow could not be pointing further up, and good things are coming for the Chicago Blackhawks in the next few years.
Good things are coming. And, dude, it's so good to see how competitive he is and how badly he wants to win still. Like,
all of them. I mean, the people around him, are feeding off of it to an extent. Yeah. Like, even in their losses, there's never been a game, even in the 8-1 loss to, what was that, the Avalanche?
No, the Coyotes.
The Coyotes, yeah. Even in that 8-1 loss, they were still scrapping. They were still trying. When the wheels fell off, they still were going at it. Mm-hmm. So you can't knock them, dude. I'm so excited for what's to come for this Blackhawks
team. I love watching them.
Anything else on the Blackhawks?
No.
Then we move on. Jake, let's do a little Schmegmans. Who's this week's not that guy?
Mm-hmm.
I will start.
Okay.
Not that guy for me is anybody that said that the Chicago Cubs were dirty for what they did to David Ross. This is a profession. We're professionals. This is business. This is how it goes. You had an opportunity to go and improve a position. Maybe it's not an on-field position, but your manager is a very important part of the machine. You had an opportunity to do it. And the Cubs went out and did it. Jed did the right thing, and he went to Tallahassee beforehand. He talked to David, and he told him what was going to happen. It sucks, and you feel bad for him, but this is a business. You can't be salty about this.
Do you think, and it could be it'll never come out, or they'll never actually say anything. Do you think anything was said about, hey, we want to give you a different job? And David Ross was no, I'm good. No.
I doubt it, actually.
Yeah.
I think that it's got to be just got to be a clean break there. This has a lot of the same similarities as the move on from Ricky Renteria to get Joe Maddon.
It's a little different.
Because I think Craig Counsell's better than what Joe Maddon was, or what?
Because I think David Ross is better than what Ricky Renteria was.
Yeah, but it's not like David Ross was. David Ross is a manager, not David Ross as a World Series champion.
Right, but he had those guys playing for him. You took a ragtag, no one was expecting them to even be in contention. If you go back and listen to our podcast and the preview of that baseball
Dale
season,
thought we were going to be dead.
You guys thought you would be dead. And then you had a Cy Young finalist show up out of nowhere. And is he a finalist? A contender? Seal? Yeah. You had guys that were buying into him and playing for him. So I think that's the more shocking thing. It's not that he was, bad and you replaced him for someone way better. It's he was doing the job pretty well. You just, I think as a fan, you more look at your, general manager as, holy shit, this guy is ruthless and will do the job regardless of relationships.
Let's not act like Miles Mastroboni was just getting playtime because he's really, really good. Let's not act like I wasn't yelling from the top of the Sears Tower, like you said earlier.
True.
To continue to play the kids.
True.
But we continued to get veterans playing in the
again. I'm and I don't know the Cubs that deep. Sure. I couldn't even tell you what position.
Yeah.
Mastroboni
so like
plays.
So like that, so like that was the issue. A lot of times it was David Ross had and I'm pretty sure that that was a big point of contention between the front office and Rossi, was that, hey, we've got these kids, we've got Morel, we've got guys that are going out here and showing sparks. Why can't they get on the field?
This is like a Moneyball.
Oh yeah,
you gotta play him at first. It's he can't play first. It's well, I traded your first baseman. He's gonna play.
He's gonna have to
play. He's gonna have to play first.
I've never played first. Can't throw the ball. Yeah. So just if you felt a type of way about that, you're wrong. This is sports. This is business. Rossi was taken care of handsomely. He makes all the money that he was supposed to make. Hopefully he gets another job somewhere else. But at the end of the day, we're Cubs fans, and
relationships
they upgraded that
position. Is what got Tony La Russa the managing job the White Sox over everybody else.
Yep.
It's the lack of business decisions is what landed the White Sox where they are. They make personal decisions. And so, yeah, I mean, I commend Judd for doing what he did. It's a hard decision to make, but he did it.
Jake, who's not that guy?
Not that guy for me is going to be the preview from bringing back from what I said at the beginning of the show is the person that I bought firewood from this past weekend.
Yeah.
So So got the number from my dad for this guy that he's been buying firewood for the last, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, right? I was going to get a full face cord. That's a lot of wood. Full face cord for $140. My dad normally gets that for $140, and the guy delivers and stacks it, right? Well, he doesn't deliver to where I live, so called him, said, I want a full face cord. I'll come pick it up from you. And he says, sounds good. And this guy doesn't really know what a full face cord is. He has no way of measuring it. He's just like, it's about 6 wheelbarrows full. It's not a full face cord.
That is not true at all.
It's a little bit more than half a face. Is what it comes out to. A little bit more than half. So I had price matched this with another place that I was thinking about getting all this stuff. So it was going to be a better deal to get this. But anyways, I go to pick it up. And it's an older dude. He's kind of hobbling around, whatever. But dad pays $140 to have it delivered and stacked. I get there, and he's like, here's this wheelbarrow. Go back there, fill it up 6 times, and put it in your truck. I'm like,
wait a second.
And the dude stood there and talked to me the whole time. It's not like he was there.
Was Amy with you, or you by yourself?
By myself. He conversed with me. I shot the shit with him. And at the end, I stacked the whole thing. And he's like, all right, yeah, it's $140. I'm like, hey, listen, man.
Listen, buddy, don't fucking talk to me right now.
I know that you charged that amount to my dad, and you deliver and stack it. I came, picked it up, stacked it into my truck myself. I was like, we got to work something out here. So I got it at a bit of a discount from that point, but the gall to have me come out and stack it myself was something special.
Just like,
and then try to charge me full price.
Just like, this guy's not going to know any better. Like, we're just going to get him.
Nice guy. Conversed like, we had a good conversation, just talked nonsense for the 45 minutes.
Oh my God, dude.
It was like a half hour. That I loaded this,
no shot,
all of this, but yeah, that was quite the workout.
Jake, running right back, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Yeah, not dog sitting for me is going to be anything to do with the Chicago White Sox. It's
you talk about the White Sox, dude, in that tone of voice, like
you say this before.
You sound like a disappointed dad.
You say this before. Don't pee on me and tell me it's raining. That's, yeah. I live in the rain right now. It is perpetually raining. It's never not been raining. It's been raining since 2006.
Why does this rain look like this?
Is this acid rain? No.
Why is this puddle?
Jerry Reinsdorf's pee.
It's Jerry Reinsdorf's pee. Guys, who can or cannot dog sit for me? Not dog sitting for me, and this is a recurring not dog sitter for me, is going to be China. they made good on their bet, those sons of a bitches. The 4 pandas at the New York Metropolitan Zoo have been
shipped. They took them. They took them back.
You know, I laughed for like 5 minutes. They load them on a Boeing, and the airplane that transports them is the Panda Express.
No, it's not. It's advertised. It's sponsored.
The Panda Express.
Stop. It's sponsored. I have to look this up. It's sponsored.
It's not sponsored by Panda Express, but that's like the name of that
code name.
The code name.
The code name, like in the air.
Back to call sign. It's the Panda Express.
It's the Panda Express. This is totally off topic. I really enjoy listening. There's like some Instagram reels of radio calls from airplanes to tower.
Okay.
Sometimes fucking hysterical what like the tower relays back to the airplane. There was one I was listening to. It was airplane calls in. Tower heading bearing northbound, blah blah blah. Passing F-13, and you know, war plane, basically. Yeah. And Tower relays back, okay, yep, confirmed, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, check that. It's 10 F-13s. And Tower responds, too close for missiles, switch to guns. And this guy's in like a
Cessna.
Yeah, just a little like weekend flyer. And he's like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That's awesome.
It's some good content.
That's awesome. I have to look at that. Jake, anything else?
Bears.
That is going to be a wrap on episode 92. Again, all the socials, guys, you know them. Hopefully next week we get our boys back.
Remember, hour and a half, just the two of us.
Was it really?
Dude,
I figured this is what was going to happen. I was like, first I was like, is it going to be a 45-minute episode quick? Like,
I was thinking that earlier today. I was like, quick episode.
Quick in and out.
We'll fly through it, blah, blah, blah. No.
No shot. I love these, dude. Guys, again, all the socials. Love you guys. Big shout out to Aurelia Gloves, Sammy Stats, Daladale. Miss you guys. Bears money line, Bears alternate total, 6.5. See red, bear down. Love you guys.
Bears.
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 Jake ain't nothing but a hoochie mama. Hood rat, hoochie mama.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no
Richard Seymour.
Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.
The boys are back. Not that guy.
Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.
How big are you on sports?
Get down, girl, gon' head.
Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The bestest friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude.
Football guys. Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love celebrating.
Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.